Well, last week, if you were here, my sermon, I began sharing how it was a trip down memory lane for me, a trip that I wish I did not have. There is a picture of me 2 years ago, 25 days in Troy, Beaumont, last October and November, 7 days in October, 18 in November. Thought I had, at worst, the swine flu. Turns out I did not. I had an abscess and ended up having some chest tubes inserted in my body. Three of them, like there, there, and there. I have some really cool scars that, thankfully, they are just scars, and I can breathe and take deep breaths. Had surgery on my lung November 21st. And November 30th, this Wednesday, will be my two-year happy anniversary of being released once and for all for Troy Beaumont. And thank you, Loretta. And what's interesting about that, we took only about four pictures of the hospitalization because it's something like Kelly, like, hey, honey, take a picture of how I might die, you know? We didn't do that. So we only have about four photos of the entire time in the hospital because it scared us. I mean, at the time, we had two little kids, Faith and Evelyn Grace, and, you know, it's just like things aren't supposed to be that way when you're in your 30s. Things aren't supposed to be this way ever, but it's tough. I remember on the 30th of November, so I'll be probably crying like a baby in a few days on the 30th. I remember being in a wheelchair. I wanted to walk out, but they have to wheel you out. And that's just the way it works. Probably charge you $1,000 to do that in your insurance, you know, to wheel you out. But I remember being wheeled out. Kelly has our PT Cruiser. And I put my arms up like Rocky Balboa because it was just like this freezing day, just that cold, fresh air that I had not breathed for about 3 weeks, and I wasn't sure if I was going to breathe it again. And it was just like this moment I got caught up. And so we're driving down DeQuinder, and I remember there's this house on the left with their lights for Christmas, and I just broke down crying like a baby. And it was just like someone was... It was beautiful, you know? It's like stuff you take for granted. And so a few weeks later, I sent out an email, and I was so excited to be able to send an email out with my own hands. Lori, my admin, was done an amazing job for the previous month and a half sending out weekly updates, and it was so good to send out an email with my own hands and give an update. So I wrote an update. There's just people praying for me and praying for my healing, and so I wanted to read an excerpt to you that I actually wrote an email on December 7th of 2009. This is just an excerpt of where I was, and this ties in directly with where we're headed today about what Christmas is truly all about. So let me read this to you again. Flashback, trip down memory lane, December 7th, 2009. I wrote this. I still have one chest tube sticking out of my right side. All I want for Christmas this year is for this tube to be removed once and for all. So if you hug me when you see me, please hug carefully. I still have a PICC line in my left arm for IV antibiotics each night, and I lost 25 pounds thanks to a combination of bad hospital food and having absolutely no appetite, thanks to being pumped full of antibiotics and painkillers. But overall, I'm feeling 100 times better than when I got released from the hospital a week ago. I had zero energy last Monday when I came home. Since then, I've been getting stronger each day. Kelly's been amazing in taking care of me, and playing with Faith and Evelyn has never been sweeter. Did I mention how awesome Kelly has been? In many ways, I feel like George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life. Let me share a few things I learned on this journey, and I pray these are words for you today. Let me share with you a few things I learned on this journey. Being able to take a deep breath is a gift. Being able to walk without the assistance of a walker is a gift. Being able to eat and not vomit is a gift. Being able to get out of bed without assistance from others is a gift. Looking at Christmas lights as you drive down the road is a gift. Spending time with your kids playing blocks on the floor is a gift. Giving your spouse a hug is a gift. Being able to sleep through the night is a gift. All of these I took for granted before, but by the grace of God, I will never take them for granted again. And there's more, but I'll stop there. And I wanted to share this trip down memory lane with you because that experience, that 2 years, 2 years ago, that 25 days in the hospital, changed my perspective on the month that leads up to Christmas and Christmas Day itself. See, back in 2009, when I got out of the hospital, and you can take that picture off now, Jess. History. Thank God. Back in 2009, how our family spent the holiday season from the day after Thanksgiving to Christmas morning itself was very different from the rest of the world. We didn't go shopping on Black Friday. We didn't get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of the season. Back 2 years ago, it didn't matter what was under the tree on Christmas morning. It didn't matter how our house was decorated inside or out. It didn't matter how many parties we went to. When we had people over our house, it didn't matter if we vacuumed it or not. It really didn't. What mattered was just spending time with people. It's all mattered. I mean, it's all that really matters anyway. We just get caught up in life and what the culture and what the world says is important, but all that stuff doesn't really matter, right? And so I remember it was about 2 weeks after I got out of the hospital, I was finally healthy enough to kind of sit up for a little bit, and Kelly made a cake, and it was kind of a funny joke where we called it my thank God I'm going to have another birthday cake. And I got up, and I just started just crying and thanking people for coming. And I mean, that's really what matters, you know? And I wanted to share that with you. I wanted to frame where we're headed today, because you don't need to almost die or spend a month in a hospital to experience Advent, to experience the month leading up to Christmas in that way. See, our culture tells us to live one way. God tells us to live a whole different way. And my hope and prayer today is that you're going to choose to live God's way. Because you don't need a near-death experience to do this. We have the choice. This is what Advent is all about. Today, the 27th of November this month, this year, is the first day of Advent. That's today. And it means, it's a Latin word, means coming. Who's coming? Christ, not Santa, ultimately, right? It's Jesus Christ is coming. So hundreds and hundreds of years, Christians have taken this season, called it Advent, and prepared themselves, reflected on the true meaning of Christmas, which is about the birth of Jesus, God made flesh, which is just blow your mind to think about that, coming into this world. We're in a season right now that the song says is the most wonderful time of the year, but unfortunately, it's oftentimes the most stressful. And again, we have the choice of what we're going to live, how we're going to live, what we're going to do, how we're going to invest our time. And I encourage you to not live the way that the TV stations tell you or the commercials tell you. So we're going to continue, or actually going to wrap up our core value series today. As Jack said, we're in part 5 of our series. Today, we're going to look at our core value of compassion ministry. That's our 5th core value, but I'm going to look at it through the lens of Advent specifically and say, okay, right now, over the next month, Jesus, how do you want us to live? So that's where we're headed today. But before we do any further, I'd love to just pause for a moment and pray. So if you want to just close your eyes, bow your heads. And let me pray. Jesus, I'm thankful that I can show a picture of myself and laugh about it and point out where chest tubes no longer are just scars. Jesus, thank you for healing me, and thank you for really using that sickness as the catalyst to plant this church. God, you work all things for good. God, thanks for bringing the people you brought here today. Those who are here for the first time, God, bless them. Speak to them, speak to all of us. Holy Spirit, fill me. I pray for the spiritual gift of teaching. At this moment, God, remove all hindrances from hearing the truth of your word from our minds. May this be an extended holy moment for us this morning at the Eastside Vineyard Church. Thanks, Jesus, for what you're going to do in and through everything that goes on this morning. Thanks, Jesus. Amen. All right, so we are again in week 5 of our series called Core, looking at our core values. Next week, by the way, we are going to unhit the pause button. We've been going through Matthew, the first gospel in the New Testament, one story at a time. We've been doing that since we launched in February. And we stopped at chapter 7. We're picking back up in chapter 8 starting next week, and we're going through it story by story. And that's what we've been doing. We'll be at the rate we've been going, done in about 2013 through Matthew, but that's okay, because you guys in a couple years, you're going to know that gospel real well. And we're going to look and say, okay, Jesus, what do you have us to say? So we hit the pause button a few weeks back to do this series. We're going to dive back in next week. So that's my infomercial. Come join us in a week. But right now, we're going to dive into our core values series, number 5. We are not just the Eastside Church, we're the Eastside Vineyard Church. There are 1,500 vineyard churches around the world, and all of them have a common set of core values. There are 5 of them. We have them on the screen here. We've been looking at them in order, and this week is compassionate ministry. That is the 5th and final core value. We have a booklet If you want to read about the core values word by word, you can pick up this booklet at the Welcome Center. It's our gift to you. You can grab that. But let me read for you an excerpt of this core value to say, here's where we're going to zero in on today. Here we go. Compassion is a hallmark of the one, of Jesus, who was moved with compassion himself in the face of human need. This being the age of grace, the year of the Lord's favor, compassion should constitute the leading edge of our service to God, each other, and a broken world. Now, there's some theology in there about age of grace, year of the Lord's favor, I'm not going to really touch on. I'm going to focus on really the last phrase. Compassion should constitute the leading edge of our service to God, each other, and a broken world. So that's the core value we're going to focus on. That's the phrase of the core value we'll look at today. And I want to look at it through the lens of Advent. I have a key question that I'm going to ask you to write down. If you have your program, you can pull it out on the left-hand side. There's a blank section to take notes in. Encourage you to write this question down. This is a question I'm going to ask over and over again, and it is this. The key question for this morning is, how is God calling me to show compassion during Advent? So regardless of what you hear me preach today, my prayer is that God speaks to each of you and he answers that question for you. That he speaks to you directly, that you get that nudge, you feel some emotion just kind of inside of you, well up. Trust that's God and that he is speaking to you and answering this question. How is God calling me to show compassion during Advent? And I think it's a very important question because in this season of time, showing compassion in this world, even in our own homes, is often the thing that doesn't happen because we're so busy cleaning our houses and wrapping presents and going shopping and cooking and just there's stuff that we have to do. And so oftentimes, the word compassion falls off our radar because we're too busy doing all the things for all the people that we love and we don't show them compassion in the process, either inside or outside of our home, and I believe that God wants us not to live that way this year. Now, by the way, when I say the word compassion, let me define it, because oftentimes when you hear that word, you say, well, that means kind of feeling sorry for someone, and in fact, what the Bible teaches, it's an expansion of that concept. The way that the Bible defines it, here's a way the Tyndale Concise Bible Dictionary defines it, in fact, is this. The kind of compassion taught by Jesus was not just a feeling. It was an act. It was an action. See, compassion in the biblical sense is not just a feeling. It's an action. It's seeing a need and meeting a need. It's about putting your faith in action. It's about serving. It's about showing God's love in practical ways. It's about being outward focused. It's about saying, okay, God, whatever my agenda is, when I woke up this morning, I'm going to set that aside if I need to so that I can be your hands, your feet, and your mouth. That is compassion. From the Bible's sense of the word. So today, what I want to do is give you more of a meat and potatoes kind of sermon. Last Sunday, if you were here, it was like heavy-duty theology. We looked at, I looked like D-Day and VE Day, the French Resistance. Satan is the what of the world? You guys remember in Greek? Archon, not awesome. Satan is not awesome. He is the Archon. Right, we talked about that. Satan is the Archon, the ruler of the world. We don't talk about all that stuff, and I probably fried some of your brains, so this is like a little, thank you, Loretta. Be honest, that's good. So what I'm going to do is give you something very much more basic. I'm going to give you two action steps. Typically at the end of the service, I will give you the action steps. I'm going to give them to you at the beginning, kind of work our way through applying them today. And what I want to do in these two action steps is root them and ground them in the Bible. See, because I believe that the way our culture tells us, commands us almost to experience Advent, and the way God commands us to experience Advent are diametrically opposed. They're completely opposite. See, the world tells us, get super busy, spend more than you can afford, make it all about me, inward focused. And God says, show compassion. Show compassion. Compassion is not just a feeling, it's an action. And there's two actions of compassion that I want to share. Again, going back up on the screen, the key question, how is God calling me to show compassion during Advent? Two answers. The first answer is this one, is to show compassion at home. This is where our compassion has to begin, whether it's Advent or any other time of the year. And I want to frame where I'm going today by one verse in the Bible, and then we're going to show some other scriptures as well. But this is the key verse. This is the one, it's actually the Bible memory verse for you on the lower left-hand side of your program. It's Galatians 5:14. The Apostle Paul writes something pretty amazing. He says, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you read the Old Testament, 613 commandments that make up what's known as the law. 613, and Paul says, all of them can be summed up if you fulfill one, and it's this one. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a key verse. I'm going to be going back to it over and over again. Love your neighbor as yourself. And now we're going to be spending some time defining neighbor. And I want to do that by reading you a quote from a really good book by Scott McKnight called The Jesus Creed. The quote will be on the screen. With this verse in mind, Galatians 5:14, Jesus clearly affirms the duty of loving one's family. Sadly, far too many Christians love others with abandon while their own families are starving for their love. Let this be clear. Our home is also in our neighborhood. He says, it is attention-grabbing to love the poor, to show compassion to AIDS sufferers, to show mercy to victims. But it is attention-deflecting to wake up in the morning and ask, what does my wife or husband, my daughter, my son, my parent, my roommate, my niece, my nephew need? And then attending to those needs. It's easier to see love in the public square than to show love in the home. The parable of the Good Samaritan is often misused here, as if love is shown only in the most extravagant of places, at the most unusual of times, the most needy of all persons. Not so, Jesus suggests. Neighborly love begins in the home, and I love this last line. He says, in fact, if it is not shown in the home, it is a sham in public. It's a powerful statement. So I believe in answering and asking the question of God, where do you want me to show compassion today? It begins in the home. I'm going to share a few ways that are rooted and grounded in the scriptures. And again, this is one of those, I believe God's going to speak to you. So I'm going to share with you a few different ways. And I pray that you have that still small voice to feel that nudge and maybe feel some emotion kind of inside of you. Where you know of these four, maybe God's going to call you to show compassion in one of these areas or two or three or maybe all four. So just pay attention to yourselves and maybe how God's speaking to you. And that may be a new concept to you. It probably won't be the audible voice. But you'll get just that nudge and you'll know this is the application for me. And again, maybe it's one or more. Here are some ways to show compassion at home. The first way I'm going to frame by reading an excerpt from The Christmas Story, not the one with the Red Ryder BB gun, but the original Christmas story. Mary just finds out that she's pregnant with baby. Jesus leaves home to stay with a member of her extended family. And here's the text, Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 39. It says, at that time, Mary got ready, hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Verse 56 says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Now, that statement is just one of those that the Bible just kind of lands in there, and we don't realize, people in the West, what that says. Again, there's no commentary on it. It just says that she stayed for 3 months. Mary stayed at Elizabeth's home. Now, in that culture, I can guarantee you that Elizabeth just didn't say, hey, there's a room kind of in the closet, like we're converting a closet and we'll see in a few months, kind of, you know, the microwave's over there, just take care of yourselves. Yeah. Right? Hospitality back then is not hospitality like it is now. I guarantee you that her family bent over backwards for Mary because people did that for guests, especially family, extended family or immediate family. So maybe the action step for you is there is a family member, a nephew, a niece, there's a cousin, there's an uncle, there's an aunt, someone who's part of your extended family that right now that name just popped in your mind, that face popped in your mind, and God's saying that's the person you need to show compassion to this Advent season. Now, by the way, if you are familiar with Christmas Vacation, you're probably having pictures of Cousin Eddie kind of showing up with, right? God might be calling you to have someone stay with you. I don't know, but it could be something else. Maybe to serve a member of your extended family like Elizabeth served the mother of Jesus. See, right now, again, it's just that nudge. Maybe that's your action step. That's the first one, to serve a member of your extended family somehow, to show compassion towards them. Here's our next text. I'm going to frame it in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, forsake not your mother's teaching. Now, by the way, this is talking about parents with kids. This could be other children in your lives. So the action step could be for you with your kids, or it could be you with other kids. And at the beginning, as I pulled this verse, it may not seem to fit. Like, how does this actually work with Advent? The reality is, we know this, actions speak much louder than our words. We are instructing children, our kids, by not so much what we say, by what we do. So a question we ought to be asking ourselves is, what do kids in my life need from me during Advent? And then how am I going to attend to those needs? In other words, what act of compassion do I need to show them? Again, it doesn't mean to feel sorry for them. It means to serve them, to show God's love in practical ways. And I'm going to share one example. One thing that you can do is give your time. Never underestimate the power of just being together. See, oftentimes, right, we do so many things for kids. We're shopping, and we're wrapping presents, and we're cooking, and we're cleaning. A few weeks ago, about probably 10 days ago or so, Faith, our four-year-old little girl, she's watching a video like Boz or one of the, I don't know what it was a cute video, and I don't know what I was doing, cleaning the house or something, and she's like, Daddy, can you sit on the couch and watch this with me? And my instant reaction was, well, no, I have to vacuum. I have to make this house clean for you, Faith, you know? At least that's what I thought. And then it was just like that check in my spirit. I'm like, you know what? How long is it going to take? 10 minutes, maybe? 10 minutes? So I sat down. She just like snuggled up next to me, put my arm around her, and just we watched a video. So busy, almost said no, almost missed that moment. Almost. One time I did it right. See, kids simply love being with mama and daddy. So some questions to think through for parents in this room is, what are your actions? What are you teaching? Could you put the verse back up there? What instructions or teachings are you doing for your children? Again, through your actions. For example, the fruit of the Spirit, right? Are you exhibiting love and joy? Is that what your house, peace and patience and kindness? Over Thanksgiving, love and joy and peace, or is it frustration and anger and yelling, you know? Not in our home. Thankfully, we didn't have Thanksgiving dinner at our house. You know, it was pretty easy. But what fruit are you bearing? Is it the exact opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, or is it the fruit of the Spirit of kindness and patience? Are you unintentionally teaching your children, instructing your children that greed is good because you're focused so much about what's under the tree for you? Or maybe not just what, but how much? How many presents? Church, is church on Christmas Eve just something you do to get out of the way? Or is it could be a focal point? Again, ask yourself, what do my kids need, and how am I going to attend to those needs? Again, it could be your kids or it could be other kids that you know. Next potential application for you. Our next text, it's in Mark chapter 7. I'm going to frame it this way. Jesus talking, he says, for instance, Moses gave you this law from God, honor your father and mother, but you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents, and so you cancel the word of God. So I believe this season of Advent, God is calling us to show compassion to our parents, to our extended family, to our kids, to our parents. And by the way, this commandment, honor thy father and mother, does not have an age kind of top end, a restriction to it. Applies to kids, applies to adults. If you're blessed to have a parent who is alive, it applies. So again, asking myself a question, what do my parents need during this Advent season? And how am I going to meet those needs? Now, in the scriptures here, it's tied in with giving some cash Corbin to your parents, but it could just be serving. It could be just giving in general. And what these very religious people are telling their parents is, sorry, I can't serve you. I can't help you because I need to give to God. And it's a powerful scripture. It says, Jesus says, you're canceling the word of God if you do that. If you kind of take your parents and you put them down low and you raise God up, I mean, obviously we need to praise him and raise him and serve him, but Jesus and Paul, and they say, you know, by your love for your neighbor shows your love for God. So it's both and. But don't ignore the needs of your parents. And again, one thing you can give your parents is time. Just spend time with them. Go out to dinner with them. Hang out with them. And again, there's some application, just feeling that nudge, feel that emotion. If there's something that's kind of, this is my application, then focus on that one. I'm going to give you one more. Ephesians chapter 5, this is where we're going to frame it. Verse 25 and 33. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. Each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself. The wife must respect her husband. This season of Advent, I believe God is calling us as a church to show compassion toward our spouse. Now, the text says to men, love your wives, not just with words, but with actions, like Jesus loved the church, gave up everything for her. Wives need to respect their husbands. And what this means, again, in the context of compassion, showing compassion, God's love in practical ways. And what I want to do is I want to read an excerpt. I'm going to focus on the men here, not to throw us under the bus collectively, but there's a quote from this book, Unplug the Christmas Machine. Thank you, Lori, for letting me borrow this. This is your pastor's pick for this week. And I'm going to read a quote. It's interesting. They have 24 ladies, wives. They're in a focus group. They interview them for this book. And here is what one of them says. There's two parts of the quote, and it's pretty convicting. This one wife says, I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but my life would be a whole lot easier at Christmas if my husband helped out more. It's one woman, not so, but show at our house. My husband used to help wrap the presents, but now he's even dropped out of that. Next statement. This is the more profound part, I think. Even more than that, they wanted their husbands to be enthusiastic about Christmas, to be more emotionally involved in the family, because more than anything else, they wanted Christmas to bring their families closer together. Well, actually, it often seemed to pull them apart. So again, speaking to the men, what do we need to do? Wake up this morning, or wake up tomorrow morning, wake up every day and say, okay, what does my spouse need? How can I show compassion? How can I serve? How can I put my agenda aside and serve my spouse? So again, this Advent season, I believe the first answer to the question is we are called to show compassion at home. God commands us to love our neighbor, and our home is in our neighborhood. We need to start showing compassion at home. It could be our extended family. It could be our parents. It could be our spouse. It could be our kids. And again, as I share those, again, just kind of a shotgun blast, I pray that God was speaking to you, that you sense that nudge, that this is my application point. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three, maybe four of those. So that's the first half, the first wing of the airplane. I want to give you the second application. But before I do, let me go back to the core value today, compassionate ministry. Here's the excerpt from our core value. Compassion is a hallmark of the one, of Jesus, who was moved with compassion himself in the face of human need. This being the age of grace, the year of the Lord's favor, compassion should constitute the leading edge of our service to God, each other, and a broken world. So that, again, is our core value we're looking at today through the lens of Advent. The key question, again, on the screen is, God, how are you calling me to show compassion during Advent? The first answer I said was to show compassion at home. The second is this, is to show compassion to the poor and those in need. That's the second application, the second challenge. As Jack shared during the greeting, when I preached a year ago, I said, we take Matthew 25 very seriously at our church. So that caused Jack to open up his Bible and say, which part of Matthew 25? Here's the part. And he read it in the greeting, and I'm going to reread it. The righteous will answer Jesus, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty, give you something to drink? When did we see you, Jesus, a stranger, invite you and need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The King Jesus will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of the brothers and the sisters of mine, you did for me. Commentary on this verse, Philip Yancey in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew. He says, what might happen if all of us took literally Jesus' words about the poor and needy? By serving them, we serve Jesus. We are contempt of order, Mother Teresa told an American who could not comprehend her fierce commitment to the dregs of Calcutta. Famous line, first we meditate on Jesus, and then we go out and look for him in disguise. See, we are commanded by God to love our neighbor, to show compassion, meaning not just feeling something towards them, but to act, to put our faith in action, to show God's love in practical ways. And compassion, I believe, happens best in the context of relationships. So, just some things to think through, some things to process, of ways to show compassion to the poor and those in need. This Advent season, this next month, you begin with your immediate, kind of your friends, your family, your coworkers, people that you know. Even if they aren't homeless, and this is again where it gets, where we get kind of confused. We say, okay, it has to be someone who hasn't eaten in a month. That has to be the way that I say that they're in need, or that's the way I judge that. The reality is that all of there are people in this room who are in need. Even if you were able to take a shower today, drink some clean water, and eat. So be thinking through and say, okay, God, who do I know that is in some way in need, and how can I be a blessing to them? How, God, can I show God's love, your love, in practical ways to them? And it doesn't need to be, like, super hard. You just think through and say, okay, maybe it's finding a single parent and offering to watch their kids. Give mom or dad a night off. Maybe it's doing some yard work for an elderly person. I'll tell you, when I was in the hospital, one of the things that I was just amazed with, blessed with, was we had some guys come over from the church, and they cleaned all my leaves. I couldn't do that. And they bagged up like 20-some bags. It was just awesome. They kind of trashed the lawnmower in the process. Won't get into that. A little bit of rush, but ran over a really big rock, but you know, but they just serve, show God's love in practical ways. Find a child in your neighborhood who's struggling in school and tutor them. Maybe provide a meal for people. A person who's been hospitalized, thank you to Serena, who has this created for our church. If there's people in need, you can connect with her, connect with us on the email. We'll connect with Serena, and she has people set up to cook meals for people. It's a way to show God's love in practical ways. And by the way, it's people inside your core, people you know, or it's people outside. Start with your immediate circle and then work your way out. We have, by the way, if you don't have this to experience an Advent handout, we have them for free. You can take one as you leave. There's a stack of them. I want to give them all away. This was created to say, how do we live in a different way? Instead of 12 days of Christmas, there's 12 ways of Christmas. And in other words, ways are very practical ways to put your faith in action and to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. There's a Bible reading plan. There's on the very back pages, there's a list of organizations to serve the poor. There are phone numbers, and we made it easy for you. Emails, it has a paragraph to describe each one of them. So you can grab this Experience an Advent handout. Use the whole thing, but use those back two pages and put your faith in action and serve the poor. And you need to know that I practice what I preach there. I shared about a month ago that I went down to Central Detroit Christian CDC, and we served, and I met Adrian and Nathaniel, and I'm going back there with some guys from our small group again coming up on Tuesday. And it's going to be really cool. I'm going to get climbed on again, and it's just going to be awesome. And again, it's just, right, you start off with strangers, and now you get to know names, and you get to hang out again, and you hang out again and again, and all of a sudden they become friends, and who knows what's going to happen. Showing God's love in practical ways. Showing compassion in practical ways. Putting your faith in action in practical ways. That's, in fact, a reason why our Christmas service, even though Christmas Day is on Sunday this year, we're actually not going to have service on Christmas morning. We're going to do it on Christmas Eve at 10:30, and I hope you join us, and I hope you make that our priority. But we're doing Christmas Eve service. That's our Christmas service on the 24th, so that on Christmas Day, instead of going to church, we can be the church that day. And I'm really excited. Judy Coday, where are you? Wave, back there. Judy is organizing this really cool idea. We did it a year ago, ramping up this year. And However God's calling you to show compassion to your neighbors, those in need. Again, doesn't have to be, it could be someone who's very poor. It could just be someone who doesn't have as much as you do. And it may be an emotional need you need to meet. Whatever God is calling you to do, maybe here's an action step all of us can do. And I hope you take me up on this. It'll be an outside the box adventure for you, but we did it a year ago and it was awesome. On December 25th, Christmas morning, we are going to go sing Christmas carols with some of the infirmed, the elderly in homes, that ones that are often forgotten, especially on Christmas morning. Even if they have kids, they'll come later on in the day, but in the morning, everyone's kind of around their tree, right? And so here are these folks, and we decided, and it was this crazy idea, let's teach Faith and Evelyn, now Elizabeth, the true meaning of Christmas by saying, regardless of what is or isn't under the tree, let's put our faith in action. Let's do what Jesus did. Let's show compassion. Let's enter into the heart of God, and some people who are somewhat forgotten about, maybe completely forgotten about by their family members, on Christmas morning, we're going to show up, and I can't sing. If I try out for American Idol, I'd be on the outtakes, okay? But you get 20 people who can't sing, and you put them in a room together, they can sing. That's the way it works, power in numbers. So we had 20 people. We had a violinist, Jack's daughter. It was awesome. We go to this place in Clinton Township at 10 o'clock in the morning. The DiRienzo family was there. The Vandale family was there. The Addis family was there. We had like 20 people, and we just sang Christmas carols and spent some time. There was one guy's birthday on Christmas Day. We sang him happy birthday, and we just hung out and were the hands and feet of Jesus for a morning. And I encourage you guys to do that. I don't want to just do it in one home. I want to have enough people so we do them like four or five and put Judy really to work and find in places. We want to do them in places somewhere around here. Don't have all the details yet, by the way, but it'd be Christmas morning, 10 a.m., somewhere in the general area. And we have a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. You can just put your name, email, address, how many people you think are coming. And if you feel that nudge saying, you know what, this Christmas morning, we're going to leave our presents under the tree. We're going to get out of our PJs, and we're going to put our faith in action. What does Jesus want for his birthday? He wants us to serve him in disguise through people who are infirmed. So we're going to do that. That's going to be fun. So again, you can sign up. This is a completely, I will not judge you if you don't, but honestly, I encourage you to do that. Bring your kids and serve and see that. So again, this is like a meat and potatoes kind of sermon. First day of Advent. We have a decision and a choice to make, regardless of if Black Friday, you were the one using pepper spray, if you saw the articles, kind of taking people out because you wanted your, you know, like all the craziness. Regardless of what you did on Good Friday, Jesus and God's mercies are new every morning. Good? That this is the first day of Advent. This is a day where we can say, you know what, I'm going to take my spiritual journey and I'm going to amp it up over the next month. I'm going to put my faith in action like I haven't ever done before, right now in Advent. I'm going to serve those at home with compassion like I never have before this month in Advent. And please, by the way, on the 26th, don't go, done being compassionate. But make that a lifestyle. Serve those in need outside of your walls of your home as well. Let's be a church that does this. That does this. Doesn't just say it. Doesn't just read the scriptures in Matthew 25 and say, man, that's just crazy how Jesus says we can clothe him. And we can feed him. He's in disguise. That's a really cool scripture. I'm going to put it on index cards, and I'm going to memorize it. And do that. I love scripture memory. But don't just memorize it. Don't just read it. Do it. Don't just go to church. Be the church this Advent season. Let us show the compassion that Jesus did when he walked this earth. We are the body of Christ now. That's what the scriptures say. His hands, his feet, and his mouth. Let us show compassion this Advent season. See how the world changes as a result.